Hello, everyone. I am sitting very comfortably with a lot of heat at my lower region. No, I don't mean my cock. I mean my feet. I got this weird thing about wearing socks near a fire. I always imagine my socks are just going to get wrecked by like a little spark of the flame shooting out, catching a light, wool socks going crazy and me crying and shit. Because my sock games and fleeks are like, yeah, it's pretty pivotal that those socks are in good stead. Anyways, I'm here to do Tales from the Script. I like the title. by the absolutely gorgeous Aaron Arang. I was going to read over the questions first because I've read some of the responses, but those questions are completely out of my head by now. But I remember there was one where you kind of have to pick a favorite or something. I'm not sure the specifics. And then I thought, nah, let's see what happens when I let it happen organically. You know what I mean? So, yeah, gonna do that. So without further ado, Tales from the Script, question one. What made you start writing scripts? Did you do any other sorts of writing in the past? I've been writing since primary school. They made us write the alphabet. I'm kidding. I think I was about 4 or 5 when I wanted to write a book. But the purpose behind it was to go through the challenge of binding the book. That was my reason for writing, to bind it. I was more interested in the physical aesthetic of books, the way paperbacks felt, the way hardcovers felt, the way the paper felt in my hands, you know, the smell of books, that sort of thing. Lesser than the words in them, until eventually I realized looking at them is one thing, feeling them is one thing, but actually taking them in and beginning to feel them in that sense, oh, fuck me, that is the best thing in the world, pretty much. So all of that being said, that was the start point for me, and reading naturally becomes writing. But what happened was I wanted to do this piece, and I think I had a kid's book. I think I was about 5 or 6. I had a kid's book that was about a bear and a honey jar or honey pot, but it was not that other famous bear with a honey pot. It wasn't that guy whose friend's Tigger. I don't remember his name. I never watched that show, but I know Tigger because I named my kid Tigger. Wait. Yes, it was Tigger. I think it was Tigger. Which makes me confused as to what this thing's name was, but fuck, whatever. It doesn't matter. You guys know what I'm talking about, I think. All this being said, that's why I adapted this story about the bear, and it was about 6 pages, and I used A4 with, you know, conventional A4 lines across, that sort of situation. Stapled them together, glued a little bit, stuck a piece of cardboard as like the binding matter on either end, that kind of vibe. And it was only like, it was only maybe 8 pages or something with not much writing in it. And then I remember watching the 13th Warrior. The 13th Warrior? Is that like a god-awful fantasy action film with Antonio Banderas, if I'm not mistaken? I think so. And there was a scene in there with a baby and barbarians or something. And again, I wanted to adapt that and put it to paper. So I did that and I added bindings and stuff. And then I really got into reading, and hence why I wear glasses now, because I was at the point of reading 2 books a day as a kid while playing sport and stuff. So it was genuinely unhealthy because I didn't have much downtime because reading was my downtime. Well, I'm taking so long on this question. Anyways, the point I'm getting at here is that I started writing from super young then, and it moved on to, I think everybody does a bit of poetry in like high school. I did that. I wrote for a magazine a few years ago, did some blog writing, academic writing. Yeah, so yes, I've been writing quite a lot in the past, and presently I even took a dab at a novel, a short story, sorry, not a novel. It was fun. It was cool. I enjoyed it. There was never any intention to post. It was just about post to publish it. It was just about writing. Okay, where do you get your ideas? Inspiration, I suppose. I kind of just wait for it to hit me in the face. And if it stays there for long enough and I can't move because I can't see because inspiration's in the way, then I kind of have to write. So that's how I would define it. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I kind of just let it go. It's a bit of a case of waiting for the idea to come. Sometimes if I sit down and I intend writing, I'm writing pieces around conventional sex, and I feel like that's more down to the performer doing that, and I feel like I'm not giving them enough to say, hey, make a scene, I don't know, where a husband comes home from work. Do you know what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with that, but it's probably been hashed out before I even searched this up 2 years ago or whatever. Okay. Do you read erotic fiction? Any favorites? I don't. I used to read like Lit Erotica stuff, though. That's how I got here. like as much as maybe 5 years ago, I read a Lit Erotica stuff, and just from time to time. And yeah, no, I don't read any erotic fiction now. I remember I borrowed someone's Kindle once to read something. I think it was to read The Goldfinch, Donna Tartt. Yeah, I think it was for that. And on their Kindle was an erotic piece, and I like skimmed through a few pages. And it was almost strange seeing the style of it. It's written very romantic in style. Stylistically, it was romantic, not in content. It wasn't. He touched the small of her back. It was. Content-wise, I've heard a lot of excerpts from pieces which were pretty cool, because I think in erotic fiction you've kind of got to dabble with the pieces that are sort of, how can I say, it's less a case of you coming up with new ideas and things, you know, it's a case of taking conventional established stuff and really pushing a new mandate on top of it and making it unique, given a voice to it, and that hasn't been heard before. Who is your favorite real life author? Any genre? Go ahead, pick a few. I'm not picking one. Donna Tartt is right up there. At one deluded stage in my childhood, I think Fitzgerald was right up there for me. Those days are over now. There's things I liked. Tender is the Night by him, you know. But no, not a favorite. To further embarrass myself at a stage, I also really loved Paulo Coelho, but that's also completely flattened now because, God, I cannot stand his writing. Yeah, Donna Tartt's probably the favorite. What I've read of Gillian Flynn has been pretty good. Dark Places and Gongo. I probably have a soft spot for a lot of the Roald Dahl, which I read when I was younger. There are books which kind of stood out for me over the years too, but then again, I'm feeling like I can only pick authors here who I've read like two books of, at least in a sense, which is strange, you know, because Harper Lee would have made a lot of lists, and I feel like up until last year, she had one piece of literature. So, yeah. I mean, at a time, I would delve into Lee Child, Jack Reacher pieces, and swallow those whole without swallowing. Dave Baldacci. And now I struggle to stand the stuff because, I don't know, it's not what I'm looking for out of literature, I think. I'm looking for contemporary classics, the kind of stuff that I think about for months and years after, you know. So let me quickly see if the question asked about favorite books potentially. I don't think it does. Okay, so then I could perhaps say some of the books I loved. So I love The Secret History, and that's why Donna Todd's right up there. I also loved The Goldfinch. It was gorgeous. I loved The Brothers Karamazov. That was beautiful. I might be pronouncing it wrong. I'm South African. Shh. The reason why I liked Coelho was because of The Alchemist initially, and it kind of morphed off of that. There was a beautiful book I read by Julian Barnes called The Sense of an Ending, I think it was. That was really gorgeous. There was also, I think it was Howard Jacobson, I'm not sure. The Finkler Question, that was gorgeous. Very interesting book. One of those recommendation types. Alice Sebold makes the list. Not so much for Almost Moon as for The Lovely Bones, which was literally very lovely and scary and haunting, but beautiful. Mordecai Richler had something towards the end of his career, which I just cannot remember. Barney's Version, that's what it was called. And then maybe as a last one, Ian McEwan. Yeah, Ian McEwan too. Perhaps more enduring love than Atonement, though, you know. It's not to say there was anything wrong with Atonement, but yeah. And then there was a South African book. Some people might actually know it, because I think it did quite well abroad. Fuck, what's this guy's name? He won a Nobel Prize for writing, I know that. The book is called Disgrace. J.M. Coetzee. I'm sure it was J.M. Coetzee. Yeah, I think it was J.M. Coetzee. But he's another great author you could check out. If you're looking for really really depressing but interesting literature, then you could check that out too. That's enough for this question, I think. I think people are going to hate me for this. I'm 4 in and it's like 12 minutes. Anyways. Can you think of a particular sex or romantic scene from literature? Maybe a movie or other medium that you really enjoyed. What made it so damn hot? Maybe it's not even a sex scene. Maybe it's just a scene with lots of wonderful tension that you really wish turned into a sex scene. Remember as a kid, I used to masturbate to a lot of literature that I read. There was a scene in 1984 that was incredibly hot and really romantic, around the time when he follows that woman. Yeah, I read this so long ago that I'm going to get the details horribly skewed up, but I know he follows the woman, and there's a lot of detailing about her breasts and how she looks naked, and I think that stood out for me. There was another sex scene in a Tess Gerritsen novel, but I cannot for the life of me remember the name. Pretty simple. But it was there was some like awesome imagery, like describing how beautiful her naked body looked. I remember while they're fucking, like a button from his shirt falls off and lands on her stomach, and something around that kind of like did something for me, because it made the image so vivid. It brought the whole thing together that it was, yeah, it was really really hot. In terms of series, movies, can't really think of anything particularly exhilarating. There was some, The Dreamers, I think, Evergreen, and I think it's Michael Pitt. There's a few sex scenes in that which were really spanking. There was one with Evergreen, she sort of walks into the room, or strolls into the room, and just like very seductively starts undressing and swaying her hips. And yeah, that was really nice to look at a period of time. There was also, I'm just remembering now, I've never seen the film, but I remember the sex scene from it. What the fuck was it called? This should have been like a memory recollection questionnaire. I'm probably taking it too seriously. But Kate Beckinsale is the chick. Underworld. There's a scene in Underworld that's also really hot. Okay, upwards and onwards. Do you have a writing ritual? When, where do you write? Do you drink something while writing, listen to music, etc.? I like to have a drink with me when I'm writing, usually an espresso, some green tea, sparkling water, or aloe water. Probably one of those four. That's about it. In terms of the ritual, the idea comes to me. I mean, it's different when I write smut. When I write smut, the idea comes to me, and it kind of rolls off of that. I'll usually try and get something somehow attached to the idea that I'm writing about, and listen to that. Even if I stop writing, you know, mid-sentence, to kind of let that wash over me and affect my writing in a sense. How long does it take to generally write a script? There's no hard and fast for this. I would suggest potentially anywhere from an hour to 2-3 hours for the kind of like the basic entry level one sitting type of thing where I haven't planned too much. If it's a piece I've planned, it could be 45 minutes. Sometimes it's a case of writing it and coming back to it a month later to edit it because I'm in a different place. And those can take as much as, I don't know, a total of 6 hours maybe. I remember editing the GWA performer and the Peeping Tom, which Little Girl Interrupted filled. That took me, and Ermela also folded, sorry. And that took me, I don't know, it took me about a 2-hour once off write, and then re-editing and shifting up the subjectivity of it, the whole piece took maybe 3 or 4 hours. Yeah. So, pretty hectic in that sense. There was another script where I had something similar. Anyways, the gist of I'm trying to say is that, yes, it kind of like, no hard and fast, anywhere from 1 hour to 8, but it would never be 8 over a day. It would be 8 spread over a month, you know. If I don't get it right now, I'm probably going to leave it. Yeah, that's what I'd say. Do you work on multiple scripts at a time, or do you have to finish one before you start writing? So I don't always finish. Maybe if there's, at present, 40 scripts in my paste bin, I would suggest that 25 of them are finished pieces. Maybe 5 of them are pieces that I'm trying to make a distinction between offered and unoffered. Let's just put it all together and say, of 40, 32 finished, 6 unfinished, and anywhere from opening paragraph to pretty much complete and needing an edit, and maybe 3 or 4 completed but unoffered for whatever reason. Maybe I just don't like it anymore. Yeah. Do you have a script you really want to write but are having trouble finishing or even starting? Yeah, there's one I'm trying to write about, this script writer who conjures up, she's a female, she conjures up the, so her writing process is so vivid and intense that while she writes, she conjures up the environment she's writing, the whole scene, like, forms before her physically, and in her writing, she kind of dictates what's happening, pen to paper, but in her head, and those events take place in front of us. The problem is just getting a proper voice for it. I don't mean a performer. I mean how I put my voice into creating the script is nearly impossible. I had it, wrote about half of it, and then I stopped because I realized I kind of lost my vibe for it. So it happens often. I've got an exhibitionist thing in my basement as well. about a picnic lunch and something, and that had the exact same issue. So yeah, it happens, you know. What you gonna do? What's the hardest part of script writing for you? I don't know that there's a hard part. I suppose formulating an idea. Because for me, it's always this artsy stuff. And I'm trying to take that and create some necessary connection between that and the erotica. And still make it appeal to a crowd. You know, it's not as though... I sort of feel like if this were Hollywood or something, I'd be, you know, in that indie bracket, just kind of cracking through every now and then, right, in the mainstream gigs. But more often than not, I'm doing indie stuff. Okay, maybe not more often than not, but yeah, of late maybe I've been a little more indie. Yeah, it's pretty funny. How do you deal with writer's block? I just stop writing. I just sort of focus on doing audios instead for a little while, and then that kind of indefinitely leads me to writing, because it's a form of writing. It's mental writing. It's producing ideas from my mind and everything in there, and in a lot of ways all it takes is excitement to overcome writer's block, being thrilled about doing something, and then yeah, it goes from there. What is your editing process like? Do you find it hard to tell when a script is done? So oftentimes I won't edit. I know words like guys slips into my scripts often, so I might be talking about a group of people and I'll be like, you guys. So I'll control F guys and edit those out. I try and focus more on spelling. If there's like typos, I kind of feel shitty about those, so I'll go back and give a quick look for that. That's about it. Yeah, so I'll just put a script writing for you. That was answered. How do you deal with writer's block? That was answered. What's your editing process like? Do you find it hard to tell when a script is done? Jeez, well, I've not been scrolling up. I did that as well. We're making good progress, halfway. Do you prefer writing for a male or female voice? Female voice? For a dom or a sub voice? I don't have a preference there. I don't mind which. I think I prefer listening to subs, so maybe I write for a sub more or for switches in that sense, because I'm a bit more dominant. Do you find any of these more difficult to write than the others? Yeah, so I think maybe in a way when I'm writing for a sub, wow, there must be a cat on the piano. Scary. Hate when that happens. Damn kitten. Anyways, I'm going to pause and move the kitten. I don't even know if that was perceptible. Anyways, so yeah, because I think I prefer hearing subs or switches than dominance, than female dom. I guess in that sense, I play the dom in my head, the male dom, to the female. And in that way, I guess I find it easier to write for F subs, because I know what I'm looking at here, where I'm writing for F dom. I don't find it difficult to write or anything. It just takes more of a natural concerted. So what I'm trying to say is my natural voice for a female in writing would be F sub or switch. I think that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Have you ever written a script and then decided not to post it? If so, why? You should probably just post it. Man. I have. I've got a ton of scripts which are like filled by X person, and as a result they don't get offered, for example, in that way. There's also scripts I have which I just don't like, you know. At a time I think I was writing and in my mind it was like, wow, I can't wait to hear this. But at other times now, more recently, I just wrote because I felt like roast writing. And I get to kind of have the potential of seeing an interpretation of it. This is why I'm saying I'm in the indie side. But it's less so about kind of, ooh, I really want to hear a chick. It's less requesty. Does that make sense? The request element of my script offers are gone. And I feel like that's happened recently. Yeah. I would say so. Tell us about a script or even just a line on GWA that you heard or read and went, damn, I wish I'd written that. I don't want to be the arsehole that can't think of something. So I might pause and have a quick browse, because there are things. I'm jealous of Aaron for writing the auction. And I'm not just blowing steam. But yeah, no, definitely. I think that's a gorgeous script. Really smart, and just got the right interplay between sexy kind of hints of intellectualism and nuanced, you know, just enough of that. And I haven't listened to enough falls of it, but I think it's the kind of piece that allows it allows the performer to put a voice on it, which sometimes is missing. So there's that. I'm thinking what else there is. I'm going to pause and have a quick look. Maybe not one I thought I would write, but Rubberfall wrote a really smart script for Bad Girl UK a while ago. I don't even remember the name. I feel like such an asshole, but it was a really good read. I don't even know that I heard the audio. I just read the script and thought, wow, that was really cool. I'm kind of rolling down, looking to see if there are any others here. But yeah, those are kind of, it's kind of just jealousy for the one that Aaron wrote. And yeah, if while I'm going something else pops up, then I will I'll mention it. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Let me just say, I think there are tons of great writers out there, and I think there's tons of awesome scripts as well. You know, I just think that we have distinct voices, so in some sense it might be tricky to think, I wish I could have written that, because in many ways it's imperceptible that I would write something that's necessarily, I don't know, similar to a great script that another author wrote. A writer wrote. But yeah, I think that's the thing with Auction. It's the type of piece that I could put my name on and be like, wow, I'm pretty proud of this. This thing's pretty cool and super sexy. Yeah. Okay. Next question. I don't know if there's a line that I can think of. Yeah, there were some great ones. I've had that experience before. It was like, whoa, super cool. Really loved that. That was fucking sexy. Or, you know. Okay. Do you think you have a catchphrase? As in a line or action you end up using frequently in your sense, in your scripts? There's probably something. Probably overuse of the phrase thick fucking cock. Fuck myself. No, I can't think of anything. Hey, if you can think of something, let me know. I can guarantee it's there. How do you come up with them? Maybe my catchphrase is my shitty titles. My especially the bit that comes after the or on the wordy scripts. You'll get it if you check some of my submissions. Anyways, titles, how do you come up with them? Teach me, please. Sometimes I'll try and pull a line out of the piece. If it's like an impressionist piece where I kind of relied on some piece of literature or media or something, then I'll take a quote from that, maybe. I should probably use more conventional, like, on-the-nose sort of titles, but I don't do those, really. You know, the ones that are, like, caught by your sister or whatever, because I think in many ways those help to draw attention to what is inside the piece more so than certain ones. But then again, it's a case of, yeah, I guess it's a case of just vibe. I don't think there's any rules about this, you know. You kind of just, what works for you. So I think I do have a few, like, wordy titles, because a lot of the time these are scripts that masquerade, they're like discourse pieces that masquerade as scripts, you know. It's like the rape piece that I wrote. I had my sort of conventional porny name, The Pizza Boy's Tip, but it was also you know, an exploration of some themes that I wanted to do, you know, revenge and sexuality and violence and all of that. So in many ways, that forms part of the title. I should totally have my pastebin open right now, so I'm going to do that. With Order, I know that there was a lot of emphasis on Nabokov's Ada or Order. With the Gongul piece, it's pretty on the nose. Amy Dunn gets you off. I'm just looking at some of the ones I did recently. The most recent one, the Her script, that was just pulling out a quote that kind of summed up what the piece was about. And then for like the emotional sort of romantic ones that I did, those are lines from the pieces. Fuck you, I love you. All the things I hate about you. There's love and fucking as well. Those are... So I kind of enjoy that crude swear word pressed up against love, you know what I mean? I think it's pretty beautiful in a way. So it lets like the artsy vibe come through. Even if people aren't looking for it, you're going to get a piece of it. Because, yeah, it's what it is, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I've also got my Won't You Please Come On Me As I Come type pieces. So, yeah, I mean, it's a 50-50 thing. Just the way I've got I'm Just Draining Your Balls. On the other hand, I've got The Third Date or The Incorrigible Juxtaposition of Courtship. So, I think it's just what feels good, what sort of comes into my head at the time of completing it. I'm so excited about having a final product that I'm thinking, how do I want to market this? And then that is the solution, I guess, in a way. Are there any words you dislike? Ditto tags. It doesn't even have to be an idea you dislike. Example, I personally detest the word tag, cream pie, even though I really like the idea. Yeah. There definitely are some, and they're all escaping me right now. I don't like the tag. I don't like albums, you know? I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I understand the purpose behind them and everything, but I feel like, I don't know. Maybe it's the fact that it's like album. I just picture these massive airborne missiles coming down really quick down to ground, and they're going to hit people, and they've got like these parachutes attached to them when they get really close, and the parachutes have the words love written on them, and they're going to like smash into people and destroy things, and it's it's weird imagery for the word, that's all. I wouldn't say there are many others I detest. I don't really like cream pie that much. It doesn't sound terrible, and I don't eat too many dessert pies, so maybe that connotation's not quite there for me. But writing it, I have, but I mean, that's the thing about writing here. A lot of the stuff you write isn't things you like. I don't know if I've ever written like a sister script, you know, but that's something that just doesn't appeal to me at all. So when I listen to, maybe it's like a really good performer that I really like, and it's a really cool piece, then in my head I've just got to shift that up and imagine it's something else. Same with pieces about virgins. I write quite a few of them, but I don't find it appealing at all because, yeah, it's just not for me, you know. Do you spell it come or come? I spell it come. C-O-M-E. But I've always spelled it C-U-M until about 2 weeks ago. I kind of kind of felt like it was time, okay, I now move across, because I'd been meaning to, and I would do C-O-M-E until I write a script and get lazy and start spelling it C-U-M without, like, you know, passively, because I've been doing it since I was, like, 13 and just sending dirty texts and, yeah, searching for shitty porn. I think it's the nature of the whole mainstream being C-U-M around sex, you know, that's kind of the norm. Also, I don't like the way C-U-M-M-I-N-G looks. So that was another big factor for me. And it just, yeah, it just the C-U-M, like, it looks just, yeah, kind of, I don't know, just not for me. It's got like shitty connotations now. So shifting over to COME. As a performer, have you done something you weren't expecting in an improv section or just with tone, etc. in one of your scripts? Tell us about that. So I think I got three fulls on Fuck You, I Love You. And all three performers did something that was kind of unique with it. And I thought I wrote the piece in a way that didn't enable that, but I was really chuffed to see that it came out that way, because for a large part I thought that maybe there was going to be a little separation from piece to piece, you know what I mean? But I think it was Coolidge, Emmy May, who's deleted her account, and Whiskey Sweet. So there was a lot of emotion in both the first, in all three pieces really. But I feel like with Emmy's piece, for example, it kind of went from controlled to less controlled to controlled, whereas Whiskey was controlled throughout, but you felt so much intense emotion at the end. And Coolidge kind of lost the control the longer it went along, and you felt like all along she was just letting whatever she was feeling wash over. And I think that's really cool. So that's just using one script for it, for example. Oftentimes I'm like, oh, she's done it that way. That's really cool. Oh, she's done it that way. That's interesting. You know, I know with the few scriptfuls I've done, there's just sometimes you look at a word, and especially when I'm editing the piece, I'll be like, wow, I said it that way. And then I said it that way. That's amazing. They're so completely different, you know. Onwards. Has a performer ever done something? Yeah. Have you ever been surprised by the reaction to a script or his performance? How so? I don't think particularly. A script of my own. Not so much a script of my own. Sometimes I have seen like a performer post something that's maybe outside of her comfort zone. Like maybe someone who doesn't do incest does an incest piece and gets a little bit of flack for it, that sort of thing. Well, the thing is kind of shitty. Like, it does get a little awful when there's this external pressure from fans or supporters or whatever, and they can kind of be more of a negative effect than a positive one. I think that's pretty sad. It's pretty shocking, really. So seeing that at times has kind of made me a little frustrated. I think reactions I've seen to rape pieces, oftentimes people don't really, and it's tricky, but knowing how you respond to a piece that's degradation or rape, you know, maybe it was okay in the piece because she referred to herself as a slut or a whore, but she might not want to hear that in a comment or read it, you know. There's this distinction between those experiences of channeling your performance and then coming out and you're yourself when you're responding to comments. You know, you're not the perpetual William necessarily, you're the real person. So those sort of things. Okay, do you write with specific voices in mind? Have you ever gotten up the nerve to ask one of the voices to do one of your scripts? Yeah, I've done that a few times. Or I've been approached to write a piece. I've done that too. Let's take a sip of water. So if I'm approached to write a piece for someone, then I write in their voice. Like sometimes it's even been a case where I've listened to like five of their audios in a day and then written. For instance, I did it with pieces I wrote for Posh Biscuit. They were therapist pieces that I'd, so I didn't have an idea in mind. And listening to her audios, I noticed that how she sounded at the start was very, very controlled, and the more the arousal hit her, she kind of became less controlled. And to me, that just made perfect sense as a switch. So, you know, I wrote it around this starting out in control, dominance, being in charge, and as it kind of fades down throughout the piece, she loses that control and naturally becomes a bit more submissive in a switchy sense. But I wrote the submissive as desperate, because that's how it sounded off of a breathy, desperate urgency, you know. So those are the kind of it's a good example. I mean, the one that comes to mind mostly right now. Yeah. Have I ever gotten up the nerve to ask one of those voices to do one of my scripts? Sometimes I'll be writing and midway through the piece, I'll be like, this reminds me a lot of X. And I'll quickly shoot them a PM and be like, hey, I might post a script next week. I definitely hear your voice on this. I can let you read first if you want to, for example, and send it through to them. It shouldn't even take too much nerve, I think. If someone came to me and said, hey, here's a script I'd like you to do, I'd be fucking over the moon. And probably just do it out of basically being thrilled with the fact that they thought of me, you know what I mean? Yes. When you write, do you tend to self-insert as the listener or the speaker? Speaker. I kind of repeat every line I'm saying. And then I read it out loud. Imagine I'm the performer and give the line out and see what it goes like. Yeah. You get to actually live out one of your scripts in real life. Which one do you pick? Why? Wow. I think I'm gonna pick like three. There's Come With Me and See. I don't even know if the script is available, but it's a piece that Bull in the Woods did. Come With Me and See. I'm just trying to make sure that's... Yeah, it is Come With Me and See. It's basically listener and performer. Performer leads listener to these different destinations. It's kind of like a traveling piece, and they kind of like masturbate and look at women and everything. It's super hot, but it's also kind of, I don't know, weirdly beautiful. The whole going around sightseeing thing on its own is awesome. And then, you know, letting the experience take you over, that's just, yes, definitely, right up there. Guess my older woman thing is probably going to come into it for me now. So maybe the Mrs. Robinson, potentially. So one of the older woman pieces, particularly, I'd say, Mrs. Robinson, or, actually, wait. No. If I'm picking three, I'm not going to pick that one. I'm going to pick Come With Me and See. I'm going to pick the Gongle piece, because Amy Dunn, yes. And then, I'm going to pick Pizza Boy 2, I think. I think I have this kind of intrigue where I'd like to know what it's like in a way to be used like that, but in a safe sense. So kind of against my will, but for the sake of role play. Do you know what I'm saying? So in that way. And I think that's why if it's a controlled environment, I know I'm going to get out completely safe and everything, then yeah, I think it's something I'm just interested to see what my reaction is like. Okay. If your answer to 24 isn't also your favorite script, what is your favorite script? Why? Link the answers to 24 and 25 in your post. Favorite script. Wow. It's like the hardest thing ever. My favorite script might potentially be one that has not been filled yet. Ardor, which I wrote probably a week ago today, more or less a week ago, I think. That might well be my favorite script. If not Ardor, it could be Fuck You, I Love You, but it's not something I want to live out. It could also be Love and Fucking is another option. The Pizza Boy is another option. The Third Date is also another script which I'm very proud of. I will do the linky link. And let's see, I've got 35 minutes here and the other one was 12. So this thing is going to be enormous. Okay. Well, thank you. That was a lot of fun. Didn't expect it to take as long as it did. I also feel like I said absolutely nothing. But I've been speaking for 45 minutes, so that's kind of weird. Like, in one sense, I'm like, surely I must have had a lot of good things to say, and there should be all these awesome thoughts bouncing around my head, but I can't think of a fucking thing. Oh well. Have a good night, morning, afternoon, day, evening. And that was fun. Thanks, Aaron. You're a darling. Bye-bye.